My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that.
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to The Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.
Welcome to the official Masked Singer podcast.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
A production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studio.
That's how you do it!
We are the one, the only official podcast for the Masked Singer.
Come on!
You know what time it is, man. America's number one show and the biggest best mystery game on TV. What's going on, everybody? I am your official host, man. It's your boy Bow Wow, a.k.a. The Frog from Season 3.
You are a legend.
I know you guys don't like it, man. Don't it sound so good?
He just dropped the mic right there.
Yeah, I'm scratching with you, Snippy.
Tonight, I'm going to talk to Masked Singer guest panelist, the very funny Craig Robinson. I can't wait, man. I've been actually looking forward to talking to my main man, Craig. We're going to see what he got up his sleeve.
To that point, I had never met a stand-up comedian. They always seemed like superheroes or something to me, you know? It showed me that I could do it.
I've also got the exclusive, that's right, exclusive interviews with two of tonight's Unmasked Singers.
Hang on.
And as always, I have this week's clue for all y'all. Because listen, man, I know how much y'all love the clues. You know I got to give them to you.
Let's do it.
But before we get into all of that, let's go ahead and recap what happened on tonight's episode. Let's go.
The Masked Singer Super Six. It is a triple unmasking.
We had three singers going home. Seahorse, Jellyfish, and Popcorn.
Take it off.
Come on, Paul.
I gotta tell you right now, man, those were some amazing performances. And it just shows you how tough the competition really is, man. Because for them three not to move on to the finals, the competition is definitely heating up, all right? So for more inside scoop, let's go ahead and check in with Jen O'Donnell. Y'all know how we do, man. We ain't new to this. We are true to this. Jen, talk to us.
Thanks, Bow Wow. Hey, everybody. Let's do this Masked Scoop report. There are so many clues to talk about today, so let's dig in. Crocodile sang his heart out this week and dedicated his performance to his kids, which would rule out at least one favorite internet guest, Adam Lambert, since he doesn't have children. The internet seems to be between two Nicks, Nick Lachey and Nick Carter, both boy band members with kids, both heartthrobs with their own fangirls, and both have worked with Craig Robinson before, which was teed up in the very last clue. On to Mushroom, an emotionally charged night for Mushroom, who revealed their own personal loss of somebody close to them during this pandemic. Mushroom's message of love and unity in their package reminded us to make the most out of every moment, and we're inspired to make the most out of every clue, including Mushroom's beatboxing surprise at the end of his performance. This means fans are back to guessing Jordan Fisher, who we hear can beatbox, but I'm also seeing so many theories now about singer and YouTuber Todrick Hall because of his falsetto. Let's try to shine some light on the sun. I think all in all, we've got a couple substantial clues this time around. First is that the sun used to be in dance competitions as a kid. The second is an extra clue that showed the sun breathing fire. Demi Lovato has a song called Firestarter, or the clue could be referencing Carrie Underwood's song Blown Away. That's the scoop for now. Back to you, Bow Wow.
Thank you very much, Jen. Appreciate you, as always. Now that we're all caught up, you know what I'm about to say. Let's get this thing started. Who is that?
All right, you guys, so check this out, man. Right now, I want to do something real special. You know, when I talk in this tone, I mean serious, serious business. I want to go ahead and bring in one of tonight's unmasked singers. She's an amazing singer-songwriter who has released 4 albums and won 2 Grammy Awards. She's also starred in the fantastic animated movie Sing. Here she is right here. I got her on the number one show. And y'all know who it is. Tori Kelly, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
All right, so let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's have some fun. I got to ask you this. I love asking all my guests this question. I got to know, what was your initial reaction when you got the call for you to do Masked Singer?
I couldn't really wrap my head around it, to be honest. And then it moved into like, okay, there are some things that I'd love to showcase that I would be probably too nervous to do if I wasn't in a mask. It felt like a risk, kind of like, okay, I'll try this and see if I make a fool of myself. Like, I probably will. But like at the end of the day, I'm so happy that I did it because I just had a blast. It was so much fun. And I really like fell in love with the costume and everything. Yeah, like it was just so fun.
I didn't know seahorses could give you goosebumps. That was perfection. I've been around some incredible vocalists in my life, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is probably one of the best vocals I've ever heard. That's just saying.
Right. Let's talk about the seahorse. What made you decide to go with that costume?
They kind of showed me some stuff, and honestly, the sketch of the seahorse kind of freaked me out. I was like, I'm not doing that, because like it had legs and stuff. The sketch was like hard for me to picture. So I was like, I don't know. But the way then they really sold me on it, because they were like, wait till you see it in person. Like, it's so sparkly from head to toe.
It was. Yeah.
And then when I saw it in person, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really dope, because it was just so colorful and fun.
That's what I want to be for Halloween.
I hear you're a big foodie like myself.
Oh, yes.
So I'm surprised you didn't go with, you know, like more of one of the food costumes, you know what I'm saying? Were you thinking about that at first? Like,
I was.
That popcorn outfit looked kind of hype right there. I think,
I was jealous of popcorn. I was jealous. No, I honestly was thinking that at first. I was like, right away, I was like, I'm going to be food because that's funny. And like, I love food. But I don't know. Like, I think when they just showed me the seahorse, I was like, it's really, really beautiful. The food route would have just been more like comedy, I guess. Mm-hmm. It would have been cool. But yeah, I was joking around about being like a chicken nugget at one point.
Were you doing anything like movement wise, right before you were getting judged by the judges?
Oh, yeah.
Like, were you doing anything different to try to throw people off so that they couldn't guess that it was you?
Yeah. So my whole thing was like, bring the sass. Cause like, okay. I think people are so used to seeing me with my guitar, and I'm like, oh, this like this cute little girl with her big hair, and like she can sing or whatever. But like, I was like, no, I'm gonna like bring out my inner Beyonce here and just like strut. So yeah, I was doing little hand movements and stuff, you know, try and throw people off. And I think it worked for a little bit. I remember Robin saying something too. He was like, I thought it was you, but then like the strutting and the like the whole sassy like confident thing was throwing me off, and I was like, good, that's what I wanted.
It's so difficult because I feel like you are one of the biggest artists ever and we should know your voice.
Now I want to know this, because you're talented. At what age did you find music becoming something like really, really important for you? Or when did you fall in love with music?
Dang. I mean, when I think about growing up, like music is the main thing that I think about in my house. Mm. My dad is a musician and, you know, he sings and he plays bass. So like music was always in my house. My mom even grew up playing piano. So they're both just really musical. And as far as what I grew up listening to, there's always gospel music playing in the house for sure. I like Kirk Franklin, Mary Mary. And then I think as I got older, it moved into like a lot of R&B stuff like Maxwell and Jill Scott. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then, you know, when I got into guitar, that's when I started listening to like India Irie and like Jeff Buckley, John Mayer, like all these, you know, people who are really great songwriters too. So, yeah.
No, listen, I'm taking my hat off to that, because I remember when I was in school, my mom made me sign up for band class. And I'm like, listen, I'm the worst. I'm the wrong person. And I'll never forget, I got a clarinet. And yes. all I would do is just chew on the little wood piece. And oh I think I went to class like twice. And I was out of there. I couldn't do it. I'm like,
not the wood piece. I couldn't do it.
I don't know the melodies and the notes. And
honestly,
it was too tough.
Clarinet seems hard though. Oh. Like flute seems hard. Like all those instruments. But props to whoever plays those, because yeah, that's a whole different
major props. Major props.
Yeah.
And then for you, I know. You're no stranger to being on competition shows. Like, from your past experiences, did you bring those with you, you know, along the way with doing the Masked Singer?
I mean, Masked Singer is just such a unique show where you're kind of, you're on the show because, you know, you've done either music or you've done something else and, you know, made a career out of it, to where like back when I was doing, you know, different competition shows, it's like, you're kind of trying to make a name for yourself. Like you're trying to prove still that you can do it. I learned like just completely different things. I think I learned more about myself as an artist on The Masked Singer, I think. And I kind of, I feel like I kind of proved to myself that I could be not just a singer, but like an actual entertainer on different levels. So ironically, on a show that's like about your voice, I was like, you know what? I'm going to flip this whole thing, still sing and do my thing, but like, I want to really try to work the stage and prove more, mostly to myself, that I could do it.
Our team does such a crazy job and a great job at putting these clues together. So I need some help. So yeah. I'm going to go back into your clue packet so you can help me understand some of the things. And, you know, we can catch our listeners up too. Okay. So in your clue packet, you said,
as a baby seahorse, I acted so hard to be a hero and make a name for myself, but it only led to rejection. Heartbroken, I posted up in my room for what felt like 1,000 years, spilling my soul onto the page.
So the rejection part was basically hinting at when I was 12, I was signed to a major record label. Mm-hmm. And because they had kind of seen me on one of the talent shows that I've done. So I got signed and basically did a whole project over there for like a year and a half. And worked with like all the top producers, like everybody you could think of that was hot at the time. And there was just some internal things happening in the company and like, you know, different people coming in, didn't believe in me as much. And then it's kind of like a mutual split. But like, you know, I was only at that point, I was like 13, 14. So I was like, my life is over. Like, I'm never going to be able to sing again. Cause you have like all this stuff promised to you, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where that feeling of rejection, that was like my first time, you know, feeling that way. And then that led to me going into my room, and that's how I discovered songwriting. Cause I actually had something to write about now, you know, cause I hadn't gone through like heartbreak or anything with a boy or anything like that. So that was my first real, you know, songwriting experience.
And then the visual clues I saw was a campfire, emotion ocean sign, clown with the fail sign, two baby dolls. And I got to agree with you on this last one. Nashville hot chicken. We got this thing down here called Hattie B's. Hattie B's hot Nashville chicken.
Hattie B's. So
what you
good.
Know about it? That fire. Okay, I know. All right, let's get back on the poop package.
Okay, yeah,
we foodies. See, we're gonna have a food show together.
We should. We're
gonna talk about it another
time.
But yeah, I'm telling you. So walk me through these clue packages, some of the things that, you know, we can make it a little easier on our reads. Go ahead.
Yeah, the chicken one might just be because I'm a foodie, honestly. They might have just been like, yeah. Or like my connection with Nashville, I think, too. Like I've done some collabs with some country artists, so that could be a nod to that as well. Yeah.
So that's why we got the Nashville hot chicken on there.
I think so.
I like.
Yo, wait, I should have been chicken. This is just confirmation. I should have been a chicken strip on the show. I regret everything. No, I'm just kidding.
That would have been crazy. A life-size chicken strip. Oh my gosh, that would have been crazy. speaking of the show, what I want to know is this. Well, you live in LA, so maybe your story might be a little bit different, but I know it's got to be unique. What lie did you have to tell to keep people out your business while you were doing The Masked Singer?
Oh, yeah. Okay. that's a real thing. Yeah, you might be right about the LA thing, because I didn't have to really travel. So I didn't have to.
Right.
Like people in my circle know that I'm kind of always doing something, you know, relating to mm-hmm. music. But I didn't have to lie that much. I did keep it a surprise for my parents because they're like fans of the show. I was like, this will be funny.
How did you do that?
I feel like my mom kind of had an idea because she's just smart and like, dang, she knows everything. You can't really hide things from mom, but.
And then when you were unmasked, what was their reaction?
No, they knew way before. I couldn't hide it for that long. They knew, like, right when they heard my voice, they were like, you did the Masked Singer? Like, really?
Oh, man.
So funny.
Now, my final question. I gotta know. First, who did you feel was your competition on the show?
Okay.
Secondly, I want to hear your guesses, Tori's guesses on who she thinks the remaining contestants are.
Honestly, there's people that have been, it's like driving me crazy. Like, I have to know who these people are. But as far as like biggest competition, they put me against Crocodile a lot, I felt like. Because we were in the same group. And yeah, he was killing it. Like, he was so good.
Yes! Wow. Crocodile rocking it.
Oh my gosh, that was electrifying.
I think Crocodile is Nick Carter. That's my guess for Crocodile.
I've been seeing his name float around a couple seasons too.
Yeah. I feel like that's him. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. This show definitely has a way of throwing you off.
It does.
Cause he was doing some interesting stuff with his voice too, where I was like, wait, maybe it's not him.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, look, yo, Tori, I gotta thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you for stopping through the Masked Singer podcast to come kick it with your boys.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you. And like I said, sky's the limit for you.
Thank you. I have to say, thank you so much for having me. Cause this is like the first time I've even talked about it with anyone. So I feel like we're in this little club now. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It feels good to actually like talk about it now. Yeah.
I've got a special guest for all of y'all. Listen, right now, listen, if you eat some food, put it down. Okay, if you're about to drink a cup of water, you got some juice, whatever it is, put it down. I don't know. Listen, it's going to be hard to do anything else other than listen and laugh when I bring this man on, okay? This is my guy, okay? Films like this, cult classic, Pineapple Express. The man's been in everything that's funny, but he also was a guest judge. That's right, on The Masked Singer. It's my boy, Craig Robinson.
Wow. Making us all feel good.
Craig, what's going on, big dog?
What up, Bow Wow? How you feel, brother?
Man, I'm good, man. All right, so this is what I got to know right off the bat, bro. What was your reaction when you were approached to guest judge The Masked Singer? And what was it about the show that spoke to you?
Man, my reaction, I'm not into really judging people. So I was kind of averse to it. But, you know, I went over there and checked it out, and I had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was that much fun. You know, it was some incredible performances. I really liked this one, The Sun. Like, she took it to, you know, she took my soul somewhere. It was incredible.
Craig, I saw you had your head in your hands. You were so emotionally moved.
All my life, I've felt the heat of the sun. I had never heard the voice of the sun.
Wow.
Until now.
Wow.
Something that I want to ask you too, like, did you find in any way how comedy plays a role into The Masked Singer?
You know, for me, the comedy is watching that one face go through all those emotions and you know, the song and all that. You know, they do their thing. You know, it's the way those costumes move. And the fact that these people are, you know, anonymous to us, it grants them this extra freedom, you know, you probably don't get to experience a lot.
Seahorse, popcorn, this feels like what a conversation on acid is like.
I want to ask you a question from a fan perspective, because, you know, bro, I definitely support everything you got going on, everything that you've done. How did you actually get started doing comedy?
I went to it was like a talent show.
Uh-huh.
And two people who I knew, who I went up and did stand-up. Until that point, I had never met a stand-up comedian. They always seemed like superheroes or something to me. You know, they had an aura around them. And I've been to shows, and I see them, but it was just, you know, this magic they possessed, hypnotizing the crowd. And then when I saw two people who I knew go up and tell jokes, it blew my mind. And from there, I was like, wait, they can do it? Because I was obsessed with comedy anyway. So, it showed me that I could do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got it, bro. I'm about to say a place, and I want to know what comes to mind. When you hear me say Heckler's Heaven, I've heard stories about this place. Walk me through it, man.
Okay, Heckler's Heaven is a stage in the back of a pool hall. And it's in Chicago. It's on the north side of Chicago. And I mean, if you was in Chicago, you went to Heckler's Heaven. It was a competition on Sunday nights. And, you know, for a while it was $200, right? Now, what happened in Heckler's Heaven is this. You sign up on a list. Three people in the audience have scorecards, and three people in the audience have rubber chickens, okay? So you go up and you start doing it. At 3 minutes, the bartender rings a bell. And you can, and then that's one. So that was your grace period. So at that point, once the bartender rings the bell to 3 minutes, you can either last to 8 minutes, or if you get all three rubber chickens from out the crowd, you have to get off the stage.
Yes,
exactly like that. And then the people scoring, the highest score won. And the first time I went up, I got two chickens, and I was like, I'm not getting three chickens, man. I'm getting off. So then the next week, I was determined. I said, I'm going back up. And I went and retooled my stuff. You know, I figured it out. And then I brought the keyboard, and then that was all she wrote.
Oh, man. We all know how great of a comedian and an actor you are, but a lot of people don't understand that you also have a musical background as well, man. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, in the church. I have a degree in music. I taught music to kindergarten through eighth grade kids in Chicago and Indiana. That was my first love, you know, since I came out the womb. Mm-hmm. My mother plays. She was first chair cello in college. She's a singer, you know, minister of music at the church. So we all came up playing and singing and what have you. And now I have a band called The Nasty Delicious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're working on the album now. We recorded at Capitol Records.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to finish that up. I'm not sure the date yet. You know, we're taking our time with it. But we got some stuff on there. It's going to be some funny stuff. And it's going to be some, you know, some jams to, like, you know, just cruise to and chill to.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to be waiting on that. And then you mentioned this earlier. You were a music teacher at Chicago Elementary School. So I got to ask you, what's the tougher crowd? Classroom with 10-year-olds?
Kids.
Mass singer.
It's the kids.
I don't blame you. I got two. I understand. What is it about? Okay, so what is it about a 10-year-old classroom, man? Like, is it just the fact that they're just brutally honest? Is that they bad? They uncontrollable? What is it?
Okay, all of that plus, you know, you kind of get in their mindset, you know, bring them to you. They think they the funniest thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So it was a little battle going on. While I was teaching, you know, I was doing comedy. I was learning the game and all of that.
Right.
So I would actually try to relate with the kids on that joking level.
Mm.
Especially this one class, they didn't want to have nothing to do with. I had to figure out how to get them to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as soon as they laugh or something, I try to get in a quick, you know, music lesson. Or, hey, come on, play this piano right quick or what have you. So that I guess I cut my teeth there. And comedy in school a lot, too.
All right, let me ask you this, man. If you were to be on The Masked Singer, Craig, I want to know, what would your costume be? And what would be your go-to record to perform?
Man, I would be Lightning.
Ooh, you got to patent that. Because, you know, season 5 is coming up. Somebody going to come out being a lightning bolt, man. That's lit.
Well, now I can't do it.
Lightning.
But that's crazy. but if nobody was to know, I would be lightning. Man, I would probably do some. I could go with some Marvin Gaye, man. Some Come Get to This.
Ooh.
You know, something like this.
Got it. Yeah.
Then I switch it up on him. If I made it next week, I hit him with some Muse. Time Is Running Out or something like that.
Okay.
Some Johnny Cash, Hurt.
Woo, okay.
Some Luther.
Oh, not... Hey.
I go all over the place on them.
Craig, Luther or Lufa? You know it is...
Lufa. Lufa. You right, Lufa.
Yeah. You know we call him Lufa. You know what I'm saying? So, without a doubt. Let's jump into it, man. Brand new show, Mass Dancing, man. You are the host of it. It's your thing. You running the show. What's different about that show, you know, compared to Masked Singer?
Okay, the biggest difference, obviously, the most obvious, is that they are dancing. And the clue packages, you know, it's the same thing with the clue packages. And they get one word where you get to hear their voice.
Mm.
Where they take off the voice modulation. And then they'll say one clue, and you'll hear the actual voice. So it's a couple of different things, but it's just as fun to play and to guess and to try to figure it out. And the performances, some people can, you know, dance amazing. Some people, just like singers, some people are not, you know, born singers.
Right.
Some are not born dancers.
Right.
But the way they set it up and, you know, they choreograph. And now, you was talking about humor earlier. You mm-hmm. get to see people's sense of humor. You get to see all this stuff. And then them dancing that freedom. It's a wild ride, man. I'm so happy to be at the helm of it, man. I had no idea, you know, about this mass world, but I'm so glad to be in it now, you know?
Yeah, man. Now, big congratulations, man, on that one, man. That's a big move. That's a big play.
Thank you.
And it brings me to this, man, because you are the host. Craig running this show. So I got to ask you, man, how much dancing experience do you have, man?
Experience? I mean, come on. I'm from Chicago. We got house music. Come on, man. Back in the day, that's what...
Tell them.
That's
tell
what
them,
I
Craig.
Did. House music all night long. Say what? But nowadays, Mr. Wow,
okay,
with these knees that I've acquired, you know,
here you go,
from playing basketball and you know, and getting a little older, it's not as much dancing going on. But I'm gonna keep it real, keep it 100. They do have your boy doing some choreographed stuff on there, so watch out.
Oh.
Watch out. Just know that I'm in pain the whole time it's happening.
Hey, they gotta make sure I got him some bags of ice, man, some ice pads for him, man, when he rap, man, or on the show, man.
And some Epsom salt.
And an icy hot if it's in it. You know what I'm saying? We need all that. But bro, I mean this. This ain't no fakery or nothing. I'm really a fan of your work, bro. I sit in my living room, man, and I cannot stop watching. Like, listen, man, classics, bro. Know that, man. Hey, for this era, hey. Classics. You hear me? Classics.
All day, man. Hey, I love you, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Right now, I want to go ahead and roll out the red carpet. She is a Grammy Award nominated singer and actress who's recorded over 7 top 10 singles and sold over 75 million singles and albums. Here she is. Understand this. Put your hands together for Taylor Dane.
We are in the presence of greatness.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Hey, how are you, Val? I love it.
I'm good. Let's go ahead and talk about the popcorn. I want to know what drew you to the popcorn.
What popcorn had was this, you know, very iconically for America this year, I felt, you know, with the election, and she's very American, but also
right.
iconic. And I just felt that she was also playful. And also, I loved her facial expression. I loved her very open, humanist right. face. I thought she was very joie de vivre and very loving mm-hmm. and very open. And yet everything and very emotional looking on her face. And she showed some character.
Popcorn, why did you choose this costume?
I can be quite buttery at times.
Oh.
Very salty.
Yeah.
But also very sweet.
And did you go into this with any type of strategy? Did you try like changing your voice, singing different records or anything like that?
I watched the best singers that were on this show ever. I mean, mm-hmm. I watched Gladys. I watched Shaka. I watched Dion. I watched Seal.
Right.
And then I watched whether I thought it was in their best interest to hide their voice, mask it or not. And then my takeaway was not to conceal your voice.
Right.
Oh,
popcorn.
Season 4 is off to a bang tonight, you guys.
From the very first note, I think I've heard that voice before, but wow, was that outstanding. My favorite of the night. Wow.
Is giving Sun some competition tonight.
You know, I know Robin many years. I know Nicole and I know Jenny many years. So you don't think they know, if they know who I am in the audience, you know, it's just really a mashup. It's all what they want to see and what they want to hear versus what's going to be and what's not, you know.
Right.
I'm going to have my own struggles up there. And I believe with those kind of songs, it's going to be my delivery.
And then walk me through your song choices. You did everything from Harry Styles to Tina Turner. What connection do you have to these artists or these songs? Were these songs, you know, favorites of yours? Do you have any connection with these records?
Tina is the goddess, you know. She's the queen of it all. Forever and ever and ever, of course. And that's one I've always watched. And I've watched everything from her movements, you know, Better Be Good to Me, just all of that.
Right.
So that's always been in my head. And I even was doubting whether I should do that as a, because nobody would know the song. But then I'm like, what am I talking about? Between that and choreography, that's going to be like, get into the ring and punch it out. And it did. That was my closing song. And it just was like, bam. If the choreography would work on that, I knew it would be just phenomenal. Bring it down and close it out.
She brought out the spirit. I was in the zone. Oh, my good Lord.
Right?
Woo!
I can't even sit down. I can't sit down. I got the spirit.
That was not a performance. That was a religious experience.
Yes!
We have never experienced anything like this on the show. It was transcendent.
That's Taylor Dean. That's me. That's not just me.
Hello.
That is what I've been born to do, and that is literally the greatest joy of my life, because it has always been about passion. That is how I sing.
Now, some of your clues and your clue package, you know, the clue packages, it can be tricky. You know, the team does a
that's
great,
a word.
Great. Oh, man, listen, tricky. I don't know how they do this clue stuff. And then, like, even with mine, I'm like, I can't. I know it's me, and I can't even guess with these clues.
I said the same thing, honey.
I'm a hard corn hustler. To get where I am, I worked long nights, rushing from one job to the next. Eventually, I went from a little puff cutting pictures out of Vogue to jet setting to exotic places with royalty.
Well, the rushing from club to club, I guess people were like, don't rush me. But also, I worked in a Russian nightclub for years. And that was a big part of my story. That was a big part of the breaking story. So I think that's what they meant, working for royalty. And I think that's because I worked for Michael Jackson. That first tour I did with Michael was when he was, we were in Monaco when he was off with the prince and the prince, all that crap went down. That was all the bad tour. And that was all when he was off with Princess and Prince of Monaco and stuff. So.
And something that touched me in your clue package was you mentioned when I was a tiny colonel, I suffered from a bizarre condition and I couldn't eat or sleep. And I developed this severe anxiety and felt like I was in emotional prison. And so I dug deep in my popcorn, found my voice, which led me away from the drama to the other side. Because of my voice, I survived. That was deep. That was touching. Can you touch bases on that just a little bit for us?
I started suffering from panic attacks at like 15.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was labeled as agoraphobia. So it led to panic attacks that led to me being very scared to leave the house. And all I wanted to be was a famous rock star, right? If you want to call it that in the day. And I was like, what am I going to do? And it was paralyzing. Right. And the greatest desire of my life was to be on stage and traveling the world and be free and try getting over that at 16, 17. So it was this whole debilitating process and therapies and things, it went off and on, and I had to really work through it. Mm-hmm.
I definitely know what you're talking. There's nothing like telling your story, putting your pain, putting your art to the pen and putting it on paper and watching it just register and affect people. And music is medicine. It's therapeutic. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So that is definitely big.
It's not always pain. It's pleasure.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the nuances. There's something about it. You bring it to life. When you bring it to life, and there's all nuances to it. But I mean, if they believe you because you believe it, it's true.
Right. And what's next for you? What else is lined up?
So I hope we get back into my tour, which we'd love those dates to start going back in 2021, you know, but we'll see. Should be coming back, and everything's starting to log them back on the dates. We'll see, baby.
Okay, so make sure you put your boy on the list.
Always.
They can be wherever.
Love you.
As long as I'm rocking. As long as I'm rocking, that's all I need. Thank you so much, Sam. You know it. Appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank you. All right, love, guys. So much love.
All right, you guys, I've been waiting for it all night, so here it is, tonight's exclusive clue. Here it is, man. This time we got some deets about the crocodile. So here it is. I know a bit about being a so-called teen idol in America, but I hear Crocodile could shed even more light on that subject. You know what I mean? Sit back, relax, and let your minds wander a little bit. Work, but don't work too hard. All right, that was the clue. All right, you guys, that is a wrap. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Join me next Wednesday with all the behind-the-scenes news. I got another unmasked singer who will be joining me. And as always, I have another exclusive clue. And from me to you guys, I love you guys. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm out. Peace. The official Masked Singer podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to tune in to The Masked Singer on Fox every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.